It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Woolforth. I'm recording the show this week out on the ice of Anchorage's lakes. The topic is ice fishing. It's one sport where it's easy enough to catch up with people and spend some time with them while they do it. So I decided to take a sunny Saturday afternoon in West Anchorage to meet fishermen and to bring you along as listeners. To me, it's one of those mysterious sports where I couldn't figure out the appeal, but having watched anglers hauling fish out of holes in the lake, I'm starting to get it. We're starting today on Little Campbell Lake in Kincaid Park in Anchorage. I'll head over to Jewel Lake in a little bit, where I'm meeting our guest Ryan Reagan from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, which is the agency that stocks the ice fishing lakes here in Anchorage. Little Campbell Lake is a lovely spot surrounded by trees. It's easy to find. Driving out Raspberry Road to the park, you would normally turn left at the sign, but instead you go to the right down an unpaved road through the birch forest, which brings you to the lake, where there's a small parking lot and a dock frozen into the ice. And today I'm with Eli Lee and Israel Thor. They're serious ice fishermen and have a bunch of fish scattered over the lake as well as some equipment. You guys are having some pretty good luck today. Like, how many have you caught so far?
We caught it pretty much close to our limits already. We caught our limits on our char, 5 each, and we caught a couple kings, and we caught 1 blackfish.
Wow. So there's a lot of fish down there. I mean, even though it's not that big of a lake.
Yeah, indeed. There's a lot of fish in here. And just the matter of enduring the coldness, that's it.
Do you come out here pretty often?
To Campbell, we don't really, usually once in a while, but we usually do go to Sand Lake, which is right there on Sand Lake Road.
Yeah, I drove by there and there was not anybody there today, so I was wondering what was going on, why Sand Lake wasn't popular today.
Maybe because of the overflow of the water, everyone's kind of scared of getting out. They were saying that there was like two feet of water overflow over the lake. So I guess that's what kept people behind. But, you know, if you go out here, you can totally get any.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me how this fish finder works. It looks pretty like it's kind of like got a digital screen, and it's got like, are those fish that are swimming by there?
Yeah. Well, that's the Hummingbird Fishing Buddy, the 110. You can get it at the Sportsman's Warehouse for, I think, it's like $119. I mean, it works. It lets us know that there's actually fish down there instead of just blind fishing. And it allows us to know where to drop the baits to, how depth. And it allows us to see a small to big fish and everything. So, yeah, it comes in handy.
So those numbers, it has like fish are swimming by on the screen. And then there's numbers on top of them. Is that saying like how deep they are?
Yeah, that shows their depth of where the fish is at.
Wow, there's quite a few of them down there.
Yeah, there is. Today's been quite productive. We've been here for about 3.5 hours, and it's been pretty good.
Yeah, it looks like it's like you've been catching steadily because there's a lot of fish around here. Yeah. So how do you usually cook these guys up? Do you just fry them up in a pan?
We usually fillet them and then deep fry them, batter them. Or do it like an Asian, where we steam them with some seasonal sauce and stuff. Uh-huh. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Cool. Well, you've got quite enough for a pretty good-sized meal, I'd say.
Yeah, we have enough, actually.
Even though they're not that big individually.
Yeah, well, numbers add up after a while, just the point of trying to clean them, that's all.
Uh-huh. So what are you using?
Today we are using different varieties, actually. We are using spoons, we are using shrimp, and right now we're testing the power eggs at the moment to see if anything will snap. At the moment, the shrimp did really well in the morning time, and now we're switching over to eggs because it looks like they're hitting the eggs right now.
Isn't that weird how they, like change their mind? Like, they like something, and then they change their mind, they like something else?
Yeah, it is pretty funny. like I said, when it's sunny, we get a lot of them on spoons. And then during like the noonish, we usually get them on. Something.
Yeah, go ahead. There's a little wiggle there on the line. Looks like he was nibbling, but he didn't bite. So you're saying about what, like figuring out what the right thing to use is in any particular moment is just a lot of trial and error?
Yeah, pretty much. It's a lot of trial and error. You just got to bring a lot of different baits and hope that they'll take it. And I think this one's on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here he comes. All right. And yeah. Is it a little trout or?
This is a char.
A char?
They call it a dolly.
Mm-hmm. Got them pretty good.
Got them too good. We try to use bigger hooks so that we don't get this, and then but this one tend to swallow it completely.
Yeah, it's way down there.
Yeah, this one's going onto the cooking plate.
No choice on that. Yeah, he's going to be messed up by the time you get the hook out.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much this is pretty much it. I mean, we tried to release as much as we can, keep the ones that usually just hook, and this is one of them. We try to use bigger hooks, but this one was quite hungry. He swallowed it all the way in there.
Yeah. Tell me, Eli, how did you originally get into ice fishing in the first place? Was it like a family thing?
Oh, no, just my love for fishing. During the wintertime, I'd actually do more fishing in the wintertime than I do in the summertime. I don't know, it's pretty cool when you can go fish in it and not see what type of fish you're going to catch. And, you know, it's like a surprise when you get a real nice fish that comes up. And you're using very light tackle compared to like seasonal fishing where it's pretty much combat fishing. But this is pretty fun. It gets you out of, you know, the city, gets you out of the house. In other ways, it's pretty fun, actually, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really beautiful to be out here, and there's no competition. I mean, there's one other guy on this entire lake.
Yeah, usually when it comes to ice fishing, I mean, there's not a lot of people who come up here, but all the ones who do, you know, it's worth the while. Some time to time, we'll take little kids out here and just have them you know, ice fish, and it gets them into the sport, and they love it, they enjoy it as much as we do.
And it's not like there's anything that difficult about it. You don't have to cast or anything. You don't have there's not too much skill involved that a kid couldn't handle.
Yeah, ice fishing, it's real easy. I guess, like I said, you just put on the bait, drop it down. The only thing is you want to make sure that the lake is completely frozen over so that you have like a good feet or two of ice before you start walking on. But this year, it looks like it froze pretty early, and fishing's been pretty good. We've been doing really well. The fish has been biting.
Yeah, well, except for all that warm weather, there's a lot of overflow, so you kind of have to watch about getting wet feet.
True that. Like I said, they did say that there are some lakes like Big Lake that were having about 2 feet of overflow, and we were at Sand Lake the other week, and there was about a foot of overflow. So, I mean, but otherwise, despite the fact that you're out here to enjoy the day, bring some friends out, get away from the house, yeah, it makes it worth the while.
Yeah, it's fun. Okay, it's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Wolforth. I was talking to Eli Lee, and we're on Little Campbell Lake, and it kind of looks like we're out in the back country because it's just nothing but trees and there's a little bit of mist and blue skies. And these guys are really killing a lot of fish here and throwing some back because they're getting so many. Israel, tell me about how you got into ice fishing. How did you first get into it?
Well, I moved there about 6 years ago, and that's my first time actually ice fishing in Alaska. My parents took me, we came with some family from church, and then just got hooked up onto it.
Well, like when people are inside watching TV on a sunny, you know, on a Saturday, you're out here in the cold, but, you know, it seems like it's pretty fun and relaxing, huh?
It is. As long as you have a passion for fishing, then, yeah, it's always worth it.
Do you fish a lot in the summertime, too?
Yes, I love salmon fishing.
So you like never have to. Oh, there's another one. Wow, that's a nice fish. So, how often do you come out here?
Usually come about once every 2 weeks or so.
Is this like a favorite lake of your guy you come to, or?
What Eli said earlier, we usually go to Sand Lake. This lake, you catch bigger chars. You can catch about 30-inch chars here, but then so far we haven't had any luck yet.
On the chars?
Yes.
What's the biggest fish you normally catch on Sand Lake?
Sand Lake, they're probably about like 20-inch. But over here, if you get lucky, you get about the 30s to 33 inches over here.
So other lakes around town that you think are particularly good, or are these the best ones?
I believe that these are the best ones.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about using that ice auger. How long does it take you actually to get through the ice?
Compared to the hand one, this one actually just takes about a couple minutes. The other one, usually for us, our first time coming, it usually took us about 20 minutes or so. And now this mechanically one, 5 minutes, easy, you got a hole and you can fish.
Do you usually come with a tent when it's colder, or do you usually just sit out?
We actually have a tent right there, but then we just didn't set it up because today is really sunny and we just wanted to enjoy the sun.
Do you set up a heater in there and just sort of have a beer and just relax?
Yes, totally. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, that sounds pretty nice. Yeah, and it's quiet out here and like nobody's messing with you.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, you guys. That was Eli Lee and Israel Thor, two experienced ice fishermen who just might have limited out during our short interview here on Little Campbell Lake. It's Outdoor Explorer. Our topic today is ice fishing, and we're recording with the ice fishermen on a beautiful sunny Saturday afternoon in Anchorage. I've been on Little Campbell Lake, but I'm going over to Jewel Lake to meet our guest, Ryan Reagan from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Fish and Game stocks the lake, so Ryan will be telling us about that, the species you'll find ice fishing, equipment you'll need, and much more when Outdoor Explorer continues at Jewel Lake. Right now, it's time for the Outdoor Explorer calendar. The 18th annual Ski for Women is on for Sunday, February 2nd at Kincaid Park. The organizers are making every attempt to have a ski event. However, if Mother Nature does not cooperate, the event may involve walking rather than skiing. The costume parade will take place no matter what, so keep creating. Race organizers will make a decision on any changes by 10 a.m. Saturday, February 1st, and the updates will be posted at AnchorageNordicSki.com. The event is Sunday morning, and there is still time to sign up. On Monday, February 3rd, the public is invited to attend the monthly meeting of the Alaska Native Plant Society at Campbell Creek Science Center in Anchorage. Starting 7 p.m., Sarah Sten, non-vascular plants botanist for Denali National Park and Preserve, will present A World Underfoot, Mosses and Lichens of Interior and South Central Alaska. There will also be two other presentations on plant families and mini-botany. For more info, visit aknps.org. On Tuesday, February 4th, have fun learning to shoot target archery for free. Archery 101 is open to anyone who's interested in learning to shoot a bow. All children must be accompanied by a parent or guardian. Go to the Wax Bunker near the chalet at Kincaid Park every Tuesday starting February 4th through March 18th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. All equipment is supplied. For more info, contact Kincaid Park at 343-6397. And finally, the Jewel Lake Ice Fishing Jamboree is coming up on February 8th and 9th. And to tell us more about the event, we have with us by phone Jeanette Menchinsky from the Swim Like a Fish Foundation, which is helping to put it on. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi, how are you today?
Great. Thanks for being with us. So you are offering an opportunity for people to ice fish for the first time out on Jewel Lake?
Yes. Actually, this event has been going on for 26 years. And the Swim Like a Fish Foundation has been organizing it. Joseph and I, my husband and I, have been organizing this event for the last 6 years. It's a great event. It's free to the public. And it's an opportunity for Alaskans to come out and ice fish. We do pre-drill holes. We provide bait. We provide the fishing poles. And it's a great opportunity for families to come out and learn how to ice fish or to reconnect with ice fishing.
Oh, neat. So they show up and they just, you'll have everything there for them and they can just give it a try. And what time should people come on the 8th and 9th?
The event is Saturday, February 8th and 9th. It's from 10 to 3 each day. And we will be there with our fishing poles that we'll be handing out fishing poles. We'll have volunteers out on the ice handing out bait. And you just need to show up at any time between 10 and 3 each day. Make sure you dress warm. It is supposed to get colder here in Anchorage. And bring the kids, bring the family. It is accessible to folks with special needs. We will have some special tents out there for them to block the wind. We do encourage families and those who don't normally get out to come out and fish with us.
All right. And it must take a lot of effort to put this on. Do you have any other helpers besides just the two of you?
We do. The Alaska Sports Fishing Association does help us with the event. It's a great group of folks who love fishing, who are very passionate about sports fishing, and they help us. The local Boy Scout troops also help us with the event. We've got lots of volunteers who come out and help us for the event on that day. In the past, the military has helped as well. Last year, we had Senator Bigots pop in and hang out with us for a little while, and we do have volunteers who hand out hot chocolate and popcorn and coffee.
Oh, it sounds really fun.
It's a lot of fun.
All right.
Fishing game is also involved. Jay Bomber is a wonderful person with the Alaska Fishing Game who comes out and helps us as well.
And I understand they're putting a lot of extra fish in the lake, so people should have good luck. So thanks, Jeanette Menchinsky from the Swim Like a Fish Foundation. And we'll post a link to the Ice Fishing Jamboree and all the other events we've mentioned on today's Outdoor Explorer calendar at alaskapublic.org. Thanks for being with us.
Great. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You are listening to Outdoor Explorer from KSKA Anchorage. You can find Outdoor Explorer on Facebook and iTunes. To see what's coming up on future programs and add your voice to the conversation, go to alaskapublic.org.
It's Outdoor Explorer, and we're on Jewel Lake talking to ice fishermen. I'm Charles Woolforth, and Ryan Reagan is with me from Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And this is like a sport that is created, at least within Anchorage, by the stocking program, right? I mean, the fish are here because you guys are hatching them and bringing them out and putting them in the lakes.
Right, yeah. We've got a stocking program that allows anglers like this to get out here. Our stocking program literally stocks thousands of catchable size landlocked salmon, rainbow trout, Arctic char, grayling in many of the lakes in and around Anchorage. Cool thing is, you know, it's an ongoing effort, and we're usually out there, you know, even when it's iced up like this, you know, we'll be out putting more fish in there for anglers like these guys here to come out and catch.
Yeah, you were showing me this hole where you had actually been stocking through a hole into the ice. I didn't realize you would do that.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. It's a really neat process. We were stocking over there our Arctic char brood stock, and you know, the trucks are all designed to you know, accommodate whatever the stocking conditions may be. They've got, you know, it's a really cool process to watch. They've got long tubes where they don't have to be right next to the water to dump the fish in there. They can actually take them and put tubes, you know, into the water and release them that way. But on that particular day when we were stocking those brood, Arctic char brood stock, yeah, we were basically just taking them from the trucks, from the tanks on the trucks, putting them in nets, and then going and putting the fish in there. So it's pretty cool.
So the fish are catchable size as soon as you put them in the lake?
That's right. Yeah, most of them are. It's what we refer to as catchable size. Of course, that, you know, size is going to vary by species. But normally, you know, if we're thinking of Chinooks or the landlocked kings, you know, normally they're about anywhere from, you know, 6 to 9 inches. And the Arctic char broodstock we were putting in over there on Sand Lake, you know, they were averaging 5 pounds, so well over that. You know, we'd the hatchery had you know, taken what they needed from them and decided to go put them in there for an opportunity for anglers. And the size of the fish that were put in there, it's amazing when you put it into perspective that, you know, you're in Anchorage and you have a shot at fish that, I mean, some of the fish in there were pushing 8 pounds. You know, to get a shot at that in close proximity to town is you know, something that I think is a pretty unique aspect.
So that's amazing. How long do they have to sort of raise the fish and get it up to size before I mean, that's quite a process to raise a fish to that size, I would think.
It is, and those aspects of the hatchery are far, you know, they're over my head, really, what they do. But from my understanding, the hatchery now, the William Jack Hernandez Fish Hatchery, they've got the ability to do some pretty amazing things there, things that we've never been able to do before. They're accomplishing now with this new hatchery. And the technological aspects of it, like I said, I did a couple folks over there who could speak more eloquently on that than I can. But the fact is that it's an extremely technologically advanced fish hatchery. Anchorage is lucky to have that. In fact, Alaska is. South Central Alaska, some of the fish go up into the Matsu Valley. It's just everywhere. So it's a great, great opportunity for everyone.
Yeah, so let's go over the species that are stocked. You're saying landlocked salmon are stocked and that they tend to be really aggressive and easy to catch?
Normally, right when we put them in, we're stocking kind of threats. So I think the last time we stocked a bunch was in early October. Those fish, as soon as they get in that water, they tend to be real, real aggressive. They'll feed, and they're normally, you can drop about anything down there and they'll eat it. In January, it kind of slows down a little bit. It's pretty common that fishing will slow down. The fish are still in there. They've not all been caught. It's just that the bite slows down a little bit. It'll pick up again in March, late February, March, somewhere around there. But yeah, those catchable fish, when they go in there, and even after that, they'll remain pretty aggressive.
What type of salmon do you put in?
The hatchery raises Chinook and Coho.
Okay, and then rainbow trout?
Right, a rainbow trout, yep, Arctic grayling, Arctic char, grayling, yep.
Is there any pattern as to which lakes they'll put the different species in, or is it just like kind of whatever?
They've got a stocking plan in place that dictates kind of where they go. There are staff who make those decisions based on, I'm not really quite sure what the parameters are that they use to determine where, what lake gets X number of fish. It's an effort that's, governed by the staff at the hatchery and as well as some of the biologists are in the department.
Probably the habitat and, what would grow in each location and that kind of thing.
I'm assuming so. A lot of that's going to dictate generally, what goes in where and how many go in where. The one thing we don't want to do is put, a few thousand fish in the lake only to have it winter kill. It's a resource that's, we want to see the fish that go in have the opportunity to, overwinter and, continue a life cycle in the water without being, without succumbing to it. Really low oxygen levels to the point where it's killing a fish or, where we're getting winter kill.
So you mentioned that there's some pretty high bag limits, and maybe we go over some of the regulations in terms of how many fish you can keep, and are there any regulations on what kind of bait you can use or anything like that?
Yep, so the regulations are going to vary, by species and for stock lakes. So it's important for any angler to get a copy of the South Central Regulation Booklet and, consult that. I check it all the time, even, whenever I get a phone call, it's, someone will ask a pretty common question that I know, but I'll still reference that thing because it's just, you hate to give someone the wrong information. But, yeah, so for the landlocks, I think it's 10 per day. And for the rainbows, it's 5, and that's all, and that's the stock lakes now. It's, that's not on a non-stock lake. So, the department keeps great resources on our website, which lakes are stocked, when they were stocked, what they were stocked with, and what lakes are not stocked, and what species are present. We have bathymetric maps online to show areas to go in each lake. We have directions to how to get to these lakes. It's basically there to help anglers go out and have an opportunity to catch some fish. As far as bait goes, no live bait, anything dead. I mean, you can use anything. The most effective thing, I think, on these stock fish are either going to be salmon eggs or little cured shrimp.
And you guys also give advice, I know, for actual fishing on there. It's a pretty amazing website. I think it's won awards, the fishing game website, and we're linking to it from alaskapublic.org so folks can find it. Just go to alaskapublic.org and scroll down to today's show on ice fishing, and you will see links to Fish and Game and some pictures of the folks we met out here on Jewel Lake. And and it's, you know, it's kind of cool to be out here in the sunshine, and after especially a week of rain, we're recording here on Saturday, and you know, there's a few parties of people out here on the lake. They've got holes, they're sort of jigging, and just it's kind of quiet, and it's really pretty, and so it's just nice to be outdoors. I mean, do you do much ice fishing yourself, Ryan?
I do. I moved down here from Fairbanks, and one of the first things I did was get geared up to go ice fishing down in this area. And I did that before the lakes even froze. I just anticipated the fact that I was going to get back into it. I did a little bit of ice fishing up in Fairbanks, but certainly there seems to be just an abundance of opportunity down in South Central here. Also, the weather isn't as extreme as it is up there, so I'm able to get out more. My kids love it. I've got two kids, and they go out, my wife, and it's just a great family activity. So I am usually every weekend out somewhere.
Oh, really? That's cool. So do you, Matt here, who we're talking to, says he doesn't keep them. He just pulls them in and looks at them and puts them back. Do you keep them? Do you eat them?
I've kept a few. Normally I will practice catch and release. It's not, you know, I just like to go out and do it. My kids like to go out and do it, and we just like to go out and have fun. But, you know, they are good. We have kept them, and you know, some of the Chinook, and you know, cooked them up. And they're really good.
So I was thinking we might walk over to that other party over there and see what they're up to. There's sort of various people walking around on Jewel Lake. It's kind of slow though, and we were wondering, you know, where is everybody, because it's such a beautiful day, and maybe they got scared off by all the warm weather, and we're wondering if the ice was still good. But I think the ice is pretty solid.
The ice is good. It's important to note the department does not monitor ice thickness for the public. The municipality does, and they do post that on their website.
Yeah, I noticed that there's a link to that on your website as well.
That is correct, yeah. So we will do a biweekly fishing report throughout the winter. On that fishing report, there will be a link to the Muni's, you know, ice thickness report. So
that's Ryan Reagan with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and you're listening to Outdoor Explorer on ice fishing. We're recording this week's show on the ice of Jewel Lake. It's Saturday afternoon, and earlier today I was at Little Campbell Lake checking in with the fishermen over there. We're going to continue to talk with Ryan about ice fishing equipment, how to get started, and some tips for going beyond town for the bigger fish. But right now I want to talk to the Sugita family, Matt and his sons, Skyler and Taryn, who are out here on the ice fishing. So I'm with Matt, and he's like, you're actually trying to see the fish down there?
Yeah, you know, when it gets a little boring, you put your head right down in the hole, and you can actually see the bottom, and you can see your bait, and you just wait for them to come around.
And so do you think by jigging like that, you're actually bringing them to the hole?
Well, you know, that's what I think they are. You know, you're trying to flash as much color and some vibrations and stuff. And I understand, I don't know, maybe the Fish and Game guy could tell me, but I know that I thought they were attracted to the holes, and the light goes through the holes, and they come around.
Uh-huh. So how often do you come out here?
You know, this is our first trip this year, but we're pretty avid ice fishermen. I think we come out, gosh, I don't know, 6 to 10 times a year. Uh-huh. And this is he's got baseball practice at 5 o'clock, so we can't really go out to the valley. We like to go to the valley to go fishing, but it's just such a haul for these.
Yeah, guys. It's really pretty cool to have it right here in town.
It is, and that's, you know, it's really, I grew up in Kodiak, and lots of fishing over there, but it's just nice to get the kids out and enjoy the weather, and it's a beautiful day, and have some fun.
Yeah, so tell me about this. You use that auger for making your holes, or were there holes already here?
Yeah, these holes were already here, but I do have a power auger, and it's a heck of a lot easier than doing the hand thing. I did the hand thing in Kodiak as a kid and kind of learned from that. But this is a pretty good spot. I know in the summertime we fish in this spot right off of the front, and then we also go to the left over there. And We noticed there's a lot of fish over there too in the summer.
And you can drive right up to it, so it's super convenient.
Right.
Do you guys normally use a tent or just go out and just wait for good weather?
We have a tent, and if we were to go out to the valley, it would be an all-day thing, and we'd take the tent out there and a little buddy, and, you know, we have, it's warm in there. You could just fish in a sweatsuit, you know.
So how long do you fish before you say, nothing's happening?
That's a good question. I just told these guys, you know, since we have baseball practice at 5, I'm thinking a couple hours, and then if we don't catch anything, we'll just get out of here and go get hot cocoa and milkshake or maybe or something.
You don't have to go very far.
Absolutely not.
Seeing happy faces here. And what was your name?
Skylar Sagita.
Do you like ice fishing?
Yeah.
What do you like about it?
Well, the part that I like about it is that I sometimes don't get my legs stuck in the hole and I get all wet.
Did that happen to you?
Last time we did ice fishing, it did.
What happened? Did you like this step in the hole without looking?
Yes.
And then what happened?
I was so cold, so I stopped ice fishing and I went to the car.
So, have you caught very many fish ice fishing?
I've caught about 5 last year. My brother caught about like 10 or something.
Okay, he's your older brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how old are you?
I'm 9.
So, do you like eating fish?
I like halibut, but not as much.
So you wouldn't even eat the fish that you catch?
Salmon. I don't like salmon or any other fish except for a halibut.
This is a typical kid thing, right? Yeah. Halibut doesn't taste like that much, so they go for halibut, right?
Right.
So
we usually just catch and release when we do the trout thing for on the lakes and stuff. Even if it's in the summer and we're fly fishing, we usually just catch and release, and I just find that the fish just taste a little muddy.
You think?
Yeah, it's a little different. But I was never really a trout guy either. I was always salmon or halibut or other stuff. So,
what size fish do you usually pull out of here?
Well, over here, you know, usually 6 to 8 inches. And the best part is if the fish are around, the kids catch them, and that's what I want. I mean, I'm just here just as a transportation route for them. So,
yeah. And it's pretty easy, right? I mean, like, you're going to have success. The fish are typically pretty aggressive.
Yeah. You know, it is, they are pretty aggressive fish. If they're around, we'll get them. We just got to wait for them to cruise around the lake and, oh, there's some bait there and they're just going to hang around here. And then it becomes a frenzy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool, because especially when you get your head down in the hole and you can actually see them. I mean, they're just darting everywhere going for them. So,
wow, that sounds exciting. So, what are you using to? It looks like you're using some salmon eggs.
Yeah, the kids are really into. They don't really want to get. Well, the little one, the oldest one's just a diehard fisherman. But we just went out and got some jigs, and we just. I've never really jigged fish for trout, but, you know, a lot of my friends swear by it, and it's one of those things where if they're around, they're going to be attracted to it, and they'll hit anything, really. I mean, the fish that I saw in the hole was looking at my swivel. So, you know, you just never know.
I always wondered that about fishing, like, what's going through the fish's mind, right? You know, like, some people seem to have, like, this ESP that they know how to, you know, what they're thinking, you know?
Yeah.
But it seems like... like, one day they'll go for one thing, the next day they go for something else. And, what's the rhyme or reason behind it?
You know, I don't think there is one. I think if they're there, you're going to get them. And that's one of the beauties about Alaska is that you fish here, and it's a heck of a lot easier fishing for any species of fish because the pressure just isn't there. You know, it's not like I went to school in Colorado, and we had to use size 20 dry flies, and you had to sneak up on the rivers, and you had to just present it just perfect. And here it's a little bit easier for the kids to come out and even adults too, just to go out and just throw something out there and you're going to get them. There's a lot of times where my oldest one's fishing in the summertime and he goes, Daddy, I'm going to try this. And I said, all right, whatever. And I didn't think he'd be catching anything, and he hammers them. So, you know, it's just one of those things. If you got the patience, you're going to get them. And it's definitely, it's funny because at work, a lady came up to me and goes, what do you like about ice fishing? And I go, I don't know. It's just like anything else fishing, you know. You don't never know what you're going to catch, and it's just fun to get out.
Yeah, especially with your kids, you know. It's something like it's kind of self-contained.
Absolutely, and it's you know, right now they're involved with, he's doing indoor soccer, Skylar is, Taryn's doing baseball, we just got done with basketball, so you know, it's just opportunities, and have them enjoy Alaska and hopefully bring them back. You know, they're not to the point where they go to college and then they never come back.
Yeah, that's the thing. Let's not do everything indoors and then like, why do we live here, right?
Right, exactly. And I tell people, you know, you always hear the people, oh, it snows too much, it's too cold, and you know, I'm sorry, but that's Alaska, and if you don't like it, you gotta go.
Yeah.
You know, go somewhere warm and deal with traffic and deal with pollution, and it's awesome. Blue sky right now, it's crazy.
I know, where is everybody?
Well, you know, that's what I was a little concerned about, because there's nobody on the lake, and you know, being from Alaska, if nobody's around, it's kind of scary because you're not really sure what's up. But I looked underneath the dock and I thought I saw open water. I go, oh, that's not good with all the warm weather. But then I saw some people on the lake and I said, I will be fine.
Yeah, I mean, it take a lot more than this, I think, for the ice to actually go out. Yeah. All right, well, thanks a lot, Matt. I appreciate it.
Sure. Good talking with you, and probably ought to talk to the big fisherman there you go.
So, Taryn, what do you see down there?
Oh, I see one trout. It's like basically the only thing I've seen all day.
Is he like just swimming around your lure?
He's just been swimming around. Well, there he is right now.
Doesn't that drive you crazy when you can see your lure and you can see the fish and they don't go for it?
Yeah, they've been just tapping it. But just a little bit ago when you were talking with my dad, he came over and tried to get it. But I think the hook's a little too big. But
it's kind of a small fish.
Yeah.
So do you really like doing this?
Yeah, I love fishing. I just love the whole concept of it and being able to come out and see all the different sceneries around.
And do you have much success at ice fishing?
Yeah, we used to have good success last year when they stocked the lakes with trout down in Little Campbell Lake.
But you don't care about keeping them, you're happy to throw them back?
Sometimes once we kept them, I liked them, but my dad didn't. But I just love coming out here.
Yeah, I think it's so cool that you can like look down through a window into another world, and there's like a fish swimming by, and like you're trying to reach down and grab him.
I know, sometimes I do that. I used to do that when I was a kid. I used to go out fishing with my dad like when I was a year old. He would put me in this like little backpack, and I would go around with him. I remember this one time we went out, and there was a big old king salmon just laying there with a bunch of flies. I was sleeping on. Ooh. I just was like, what the heck is that? It's just terrible.
Do you ever get cold out when you're out here for ice fishing? And think
I don't really care if it's cold or not. I just love being able to have fun instead of being stuck inside all day.
Cool. And how old are you?
I'm 12.
So you've been doing this pretty much as long as you can remember.
Mm-hmm. Like a really long time. I can't even remember.
What's your dog's name?
That's not my dog.
Oh, you're just a dog who walked up. It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Woolforth, and we're recording today's show in advance. It's Saturday, and we're recording on the ice of Jewel Lake. I was just speaking with a couple of fishermen out here on the lake, first Matt Sugita, then his 12-year-old son, Taryn Sugita. Now I'd like to return to my guest, Ryan Reagan, from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, who graciously agreed to meet me out here on Jewel Lake. Earlier, Ryan was talking about stocking the lakes, how they do it, and the wide variety of fish available. He's an avid ice fisherman himself, fishing mostly in Eagle River, and he gets out of town and has some tips about that and about what to use. Ryan, we didn't really talk yet about equipment. Pretty simple equipment other than the auger to make the hole in the ice. I mean, it looks like a really small rods with reels and just some lures and some salmon eggs and stuff like that. And then obviously maybe a stool and a heavy coat to stay warm. And then it looks like Matt was using kind of a scooper to get the slush out of the hole. Anything else that like a beginner should really get ready, you know, if they want to come out and give it a try?
No, that about covers it. One thing anglers will find, the variation between open water angling equipment and ice fishing equipment, the rod in particular, is that the rod when you're ice fishing is considerably shorter than most conventional open water, you know, casting or, you know, spinning rods. The main thing is any of the outdoor stores or, you know, any of the big box, grocery stores, they sell all kinds of ice fishing equipment and stuff. So, no, as far as the terminal tackle goes, like, you know, jigs and stuff, little jig heads, lead head jigs work well. Anything with anything with a little rubberized or twisty tail, those tend to work well. Just put on a lead jig. Cured shrimp, you know, salmon eggs, as far as bait goes, that works well. So that is a little variation between that and, you know, what you would use if in the open water. But some people use spoons and stuff to jig, and that's fine. You know, it's all species dependent. You know, if you're going for pike, obviously you're going to use a little bit different equipment than if you're going for landlocked coho or, you know, landlocked salmon or landlocked, or rainbows or whatever. So.
Yeah, so that would be if you're going out of town and going to a lake that's not stocked, because obviously the fishing game isn't going to be stocking pike, right? And I know people catch some really large fish when they are heading into the backcountry and ice fishing. Is that something you do much?
Yeah, the pike fishing is something that, you know, I do enjoy doing. Pike are not, they are an invasive species in South Central. There are some areas in, more so in the Mat-Su Valley that have considerably larger pike. So getting into the backcountry is one of those things where if you have the equipment to get out there and do it and resources like a snow machine or, you know, however you want to get there, an airplane, your access or your opportunity at a you know, more of a trophy class fish is certainly, you know, increased. But you know, as far as the in-town or road accessible lakes, there are some great opportunities in South Central to get out and go fish for species like, you know, the non-stock species, like obviously pike, which you know, we don't want them in the waters around here. Burbot, you know, there are some lake trout within, you know, on the road system. Larger rainbow trout. So you know, all kinds of opportunity.
Now, in terms of the pike, because they're invasive, is it true that it's very liberal as to how many you can take, right?
Yeah, for pike in South Central, there are no bag limits, you know, with the exception. Well, I mean, for the most part, there are no bag limits or possession limits. In fact, in most areas, if you catch a pike, we don't want you putting it back in the water. You know, we either want you to, you know, kill it and donate it, keep it for yourself, you know. Just don't, even if you believe, you know, even if you tear the gills out or something, just toss it back in the water. That's not enough. We want, you know, because those pike, you know, they're a very hardy fish and, you know, they could presumably survive. And the more pike that are out of the waters in South Central, the better.
And the reason for that is because they are voracious predators, and because they don't belong in that ecosystem, they have the ability to just tear through and eat everything in their path, right? I mean, and they really clean out the native species.
Yeah, and that's the general thing about northern pike. Like I said, they're just invasive to South Central. They're native to Alaska. I mean, parts of Alaska have northern pike in them, and in the ecosystems, the fish have just gone along and adapted just fine. But yeah, the pike get in there. They're an extremely voracious predator. They'll eat about anything. And I mean, you know, I've seen pike. 25-inch pike have an 18-inch fish in its stomach. I mean, they're just, you know, it's they're an amazing predator. They're good at what they do, and they're super aggressive, and they you know, will have an impact on the native fish species.
So if you're going to one of those out-of-town lakes and you're going after pike or one of these larger species, you're obviously going to be using different gear than what we're seeing here on Jewel Lake, where they're very, very light gear because you're going for small fish. I mean, what kind of gear would you use when you're going out there?
Heavier equipment, like a stiffer rod, heavier duty reel. I like to use braided line. Not everybody does. You know, some people like to use monofilament when they're ice fishing. Wire leader is a kind of a must if you're going after larger pike. Heavier duty jigs and, you know, hooks and whatnot. In some of the lakes around South Central, you can actually use five lines. We call those five line lakes. They're mostly in the valley where you can use tip ups with, you know, like herring or, you know, hooligan or, you know, whatever as bait.
So, and those obviously are listed on the website as to where you can do that. And presumably if they've said that, then there's a lot of fish there that they want to get out of the lake.
Right. Yeah, they are listed in regulations. It's on page 16 in the South Central Reg Book. You'll find a section in the middle column there just on what the five line lakes are in South Central. Yeah, in those areas, you know, my assumption is, yeah, that they are an area where there are a lot of pike and we want them out of there. So, you know, it's more of an opportunity for anglers to go out and get them. And the thing about pike is, you know, they're, albeit they are invasive to South Central, as far as a fish goes, as far as a trophy fish goes, I think they're a good fight. You know, they're a good fish to catch. They're a good fish to eat. You know, not a lot of people look at them as a fish that they want to actually go after to, you know, put in their freezer and eat. Partly because they're a little bit more difficult to fillet out because they have the Y bones and stuff in them. But you know, then again, the department has information on online on how to you know, properly fillet pike, and we've got information in our regional offices where we can do that. And the fact of the matter is, I think pike is a good fish to eat, and it's a fun fish to catch. So,
yeah. So, but we don't want anybody to spread them any farther. I mean, those fish are there because somebody took it upon themselves to say, I'm going to stock this lake now. And they got a pike and they threw it into a different lake. I mean, and that's almost like an environmental crime. I mean, that's like, you know, they're taking it in their hands to decide what the ecosystem of that lake is going to be.
That's true. And that's the unfortunate aspect. You know, sportsmen and anglers, you know, the 90% of them are out there and they're wanting to do the right thing. It's, you know, there are a few in the bunch who decide that a certain waterway would, you know, be better if they had pike in it, and that's it. It is illegal, and you know, if anybody knows of anybody who's doing that, contact us. We want to know, and we'll get, you know, we'll handle it accordingly. But that's how pike were introduced to South Central. It was, you know, there are some assumptions that go back, you know, back as far as the 50s. I'm not quite sure exactly how they are, but pike is pike can survive in some certain water conditions that other fish just would not survive in. So it makes them very, very able to move around when you know, rivers flood or when lakes flood, and then also when people take them around and put them in waterways where they, you know, weren't before.
It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Wolforth, and we're coming to you today from Jewel Lake. We're talking about ice fishing. And there's a couple of families out on the lake, little, you know, holes drilled in the lake with augers and stools, and they've got their small rods and kids dipping those lures down, and a lot of people lying flat on the ice with their face in the hole watching the fish and trying to entice the fish to bite whatever kind of bait they have. And boy, the kids, like, are just really, really having a good time. So we're doing Outdoor Explorer from the outdoors today. We just came out to see the ice fishing happening, and Ryan Reagan is with me. He's with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. We've been talking about ice fishing. The lakes in Anchorage, the great majority of the lakes in Anchorage are stocked by Fish and Game, and with, you know, large bag limits, you can go out and fish them. And then, of course, many lakes around Anchorage are also great for ice fishing. We just with the natural run of fish that are there, and there you can go for much larger fish. And some kind of amazing pictures on the Fish and Game website of these huge fish being pulled out of lakes around South Central by ice fishermen. Ryan, for somebody who wants to get started, I understand you've got equipment that you can sort of check out and maybe give them some advice. Is it from the Raspberry Road office of Fish and Game?
It is, yes. So what we've done in our Raspberry office in Anchorage here, the Sport Fish Information Center has started a rod loaner program specifically for ice fishing. We have ice fishing equipment to loan out to anglers to, you know, to get them out on the water, to get them an opportunity to go and try to catch some fish. We've got rods, we've got ice scoops, we have hand crank augers, some buckets. Basically, we'll give you everything you need. We do not provide terminal tackle or bait. You know, that's something the angler has to go out and get, but we'll basically give you everything. We can, you know, we can set you up with a Stock Lakes brochure, show you where to go, how to fish. You know, if an angler is coming at this, never having fished before, that's okay. You know, they can come in and talk to us at the information center. We can get you set up. We can give you the confidence to get out there and hopefully put you on some fish.
Cool. And are there certain lakes where you feel like there's better fishing than others? I mean, within the Anchorage area, or they're all being stocked in rotation and kind of like, I guess you don't know when you're going to hit the hot slot machine. It's sort of random. Which would you say it is?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think the cool thing about the lakes in Anchorage is there are opportunities out there for every level of angler. From kid who just wants to go out and catch fish, you know, with the parents, to the seasoned angler who wants to really go after a trophy class fish. Sand Lake, for example, has got some, you know, very, very nice Arctic char in there. That poses a challenge for most anglers. And I think, you know, the guys who kind of get sick of catching just small fish, who want to target those bigger guys, they have that opportunity in Anchorage. And I think that makes this place a unique fishery to go out there and do that.
So I guess the skill comes in figuring out which part of the lake to drop your line and what kind of lure or bait to use if you're actually going for the larger fish, and figuring out the kind of limnology and the shape of the lake bottom and all that.
Yeah, it's true. And there's some pretty specialized equipment out there, electronic equipment, flashers and fish finders and stuff that can aid an angler in doing that. It's a quest. And for the experienced angler, you know, we all like a challenge, you know. It kind of makes the prize at the end of the day worth going after. So
you do most of your ice fishing up in Eagle River, sounds like. What are the good spots up there?
Lower Fire Lake is good for pike. That's basically all I've ever caught in that place. And it's good. The pike aren't very big. Because I think it's, you know, they're getting fished quite a bit, which is good. Mirror Lake is a great place too, which is north of Eagle River. That's a great place to take kids. The fish in there are not huge by any means, but there are a lot of them in there. You know, if you got kids and you go out there and you live in the area, you can go out there and do that. Lakes in the Mat-Su Valley, there are some fairly, you know, there are a lot of lakes up there that have big fish in them. Just a lot of water up there, really. We've got, you know, maps and directions and stuff to show you to get there. And we do have an office in Palmer, too. So,
yeah. Is it bigger lake, bigger fish? So like go up to Big Lake and you might catch something large because it's had more chance to swim around and less angling pressure for the sheer volume of lake, or what, you know, what are the factors that would help determine if there might be trophy sized fish in a lake?
Sure. Yeah. So basically, you know, food is going to be the number one thing that's going to determine how a fish can grow and how big they can grow. Bigger lake, bigger fish, probably, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, a lot of the lakes in Anchorage that are even smaller that you wouldn't think have very big fish in them, they do. And, you know, and it's a tough call to say, you know, if I go to a bigger lake, you know, I'll have a shot at a bigger fish. It the larger the area, I think the more options you have in terms of, you know, spreading out and finding a potential area that could hold a trophy class fish for you. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's going to be all dependent upon your experience level. If you're just getting into ice fishing, you know, my recommendation is to kind of stick to some of the local lakes around here. They're not, you know, huge. If you come into the information center at the department, we can kind of talk to you, show you a couple maps, point you in the right direction, get you out there. But if you're an experienced angler, you know, and you want to go after some species that you've never caught before, or if you want to go after those trophy class things, and perhaps a larger water body is what you're looking for.
So, what about the seasonality? And, I've heard that the fishing can pick up, you know, at different months of the winter, and some months might be slower than others. And I don't know, and maybe if the reason for that is the temperature or the amount of sunlight or what, but what time of year is the fishing generally the liveliest?
Normally, fishing tends to be good right after the ice gets hard enough to be out there safely. So, you know, you're looking at somewhere November. You know, we our last round of stocking that took place with the landlocked Chinook salmon, we put in thousands. I think it was in early October. And, you know, after that, up and through like November, even into early December, mid-December, the fishing is good. Tends to slow down, you know, toward the end of December. January is a slower month for fish. They just become a little bit more reluctant to bite. They're still there, but they just take a little bit more enticing to get them to strike. It'll pick up, you know, usually like mid to late February and into March. And then right after the ice is off, that's when fishing can be really good too.
So when the ice is broken up, then you get it back out there on your boat right away.
Yeah, in the areas where you can, you know, where you can take a boat or a float tube or whatever. But yeah, that's a good time to go if you can get out. You know, right after breakup, you have a shot at a lot of fish.
It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Wolforth, and I've been talking with Ryan Reagan from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. We're out on Jewel Lake today for the show talking about ice fishing, and there's a couple of families out there. I don't think they're having a tremendous amount of luck today through whatever reason. The fish are just not cooperating, but definitely seem to be having fun. And Ryan, I really appreciate your coming out today to talk about it. And you know, you've got a lot of resources there on your Fish and Game website that we'll link to through outdoorexplorer.org. And it sounds like you guys are ready to have people come out and you'll teach them how to do it.
Absolutely. That's one thing, you know, we want folks to know is that the Sport Fish Information Center is there to serve the angler. We're really there to just help any level of angling ability, answer any question you might have about fishing in South Central or fishing in Alaska. We, you know, if we don't know, we can find somebody who knows the answer to the question. Come down and see us, and you know, we'll get you set up. We want you fishing, and I think, you know, ice fishing is a great way for families to get out. It's a great way for individuals to get out. You know, it's just it's another really fun thing to do in an area with many, many opportunities for outdoor activities in the winter.
I want to thank my guest Ryan Reagan from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game for joining me on Jewel Lake. The weather was warm, so it wasn't too bad standing around for an hour, but I do appreciate your time. I'd also like to thank ice fishermen I talked to, Matt, Skyler, and Taryn Shigita here on Jewel Lake, and earlier on Little Campbell Lake, Eli Lee and Israel Thorpe. They had a very successful day of ice fishing and took the time to explain it to me. Also, thanks to Jeanette Mincheski, who told us about the upcoming Jewel Lake Ice Fishing Jamboree. Next week on Outdoor Explorer will be a very special show. My guests will be parents of the Anchorage Olympians headed for Sochi. We'll have Ron and Deborah Randall, the parents of skier Keegan Randall, Marty Schultz, the father of curler Jessica Schultz, and Mary Stassel, mother of snowboarder Ryan Stassel. We'll talk about their hopes, fears, and pride as we look forward to the Winter Olympics, which start next week. That's all. The producer and editor of Outdoor Explorer is Kristen Platt. I'm your host, Charles Wolforth, and I'll see you outside.
Outdoor Explorer is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Theme music is by Portugal the Man. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Outdoor Explorer and listen online at alaskapublic.org.
Life informed. This is Alaska Public Media.